From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant,
presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
One more Corner Pocket.
Now here's WarChant.com's ass on Hutch of Andy.
And Corey Clark.
Wake up! What is up, everybody? It's Wake Up War Champ presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Coming up on today's show, NFL draft reaction, first rounder, pack in the game for the Noles, and maybe some talk on baseball. Wake Up War Champ presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, 2475 Appalachia Parkway in Tallahassee, Florida. CPTallyBar.com, the website. Daily lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Today, Friday, you know what's going down. Chicken strip basket, hand-breaded, serve with a dipping sauce, or toss in a sauce of your choosing. Comes with a side dish of your choosing as well. That's how they do it over the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. We're also presented in limited interruption form, commercial-wise, sponsored by our friends over at Vitamin Energy. VitaminEnergy.com, promo code is WarChantBogo, WarChantBogo, shaking and take it. Shout out to the big homie, Ray Pereira, who replied in the YouTube comments the other day, Corey, as on your right, the Vitamin Energy Immune Plus was a winner in my vodka cranberry in Orlando. I felt great, exclamation point. What else you need to know, everybody? VitaminEnergy.com, again, promo code WarChantBogo. Buy one, get one free. WarChant.com, your ultimate Seminole sports source. Hit the thumbs up, subscribe, read all the great content over there that awaits. Get into the forums also. Argue with people. Somebody wanted to make a bet with me, I think, Corey, about where Johnny Wilson was going to get drafted. And I remember when I bet that one guy that if I got it right, he would have to stop posting on WarChant. And I won. And he did stop posting, but I went and looked him up. He's on the other site still. And he's back. Good for him. I felt a little bit bad about it in hindsight. But anyhow, enough about that. How are you, man?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. So you knocked all you knocked everything out.
Yeah,
Vitamin Energy and Corner Pocket.
I mean, this is a late show. I'm grumpy because the Lakers are choking it away again. So I might have to watch the entire thing unfold in front of me this time.
Let me ask you a question, Aslan. Did your football team draft a quarterback with the 8th overall pick after signing another quarterback to a $100 million guaranteed contract in the offseason?
How does that happen? I mean, where are the layers of protection to prevent that from happening? Where's the chain of command? That's heinous.
So it's preposterous, and it's like it's a fireable offense. Like Arthur Blank should have to give up the team. And again, I know you guys didn't tune in for Wake Up Falcons.
Dirty Birds, yeah.
But that would be a good name. Wake Up Dirty Birds, or Go to Bed Dirty Birds. Yeah. I think that it can't work. Like, even if it works, it didn't work. Like, let's say that Kirk Cousins doesn't heal right from his Achilles, and Penix has to play the first month and is awesome, and then leads the team to the playoffs. Okay, you're still paying your backup quarterback at that point $60 million for the season. So you could have used that money elsewhere, and if Penix ends up being awesome, that money could have been spent on something else. And let's do the other thing and say Cousins is really good, or good, as good as he can be, and looks like himself, and is a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, and leads this team to 10 wins, the 10-7 record. And you're like, okay, 10-7, that's Kirk Cousins. That's not too bad. He played pretty well. Well, what would they have been if they drafted somebody with the 8th overall pick that actually played a down? That's what's so – you draft Penix with the 8th overall pick, fine. I don't know if he's going to be any good. I know he's old. I don't know if he's going to be any good or not, but it's all a crapshoot. Or you sign Kirk Cousins. You don't do both.
That's wild.
You just don't do both. They are literally, Aslan, they're going to be spending – I don't know what the overall salary cap for an NFL team is this year. I know the 8th overall pick, I think they're guaranteed somewhere in the neighborhood of $55 million.
Oh, my God. Really? That's like Sam Bradford territory. We're back,
something
huh?
like that. I'll look it up while we're talking about actual Florida State stuff. But Kirk Cousins this year, he's guaranteed $100 million. This year, he gets paid like $62 million. So
the first 2 years apparently are guaranteed.
Crazy.
For his contract,
yeah. He's guaranteed 90. He gets paid 90 over the next 2 years. And then $10 million the third year regardless. Even if you cut him, you give him 10. So it's a guaranteed $100 million. The $10 million wouldn't be huge in year three. But this year in particular, he's making over $60 million. The guy you just drafted with 8th overall pick is making $12 million this year. So you're spending $75-ish million on quarterbacks. when you're the Falcons. It's not like there was just one little piece that you were missing, and it was backup quarterback. Anyway, it's just it's very, very frustrating. It even if Penix ends up being awesome and an all-pro, even if he becomes almost the next Patrick Mahomes, this was still a ridiculous thing to do. It was still, in hindsight, it was ridiculous to sign Kirk Cousins. That's the point. Yeah. Don't sign Kirk Cousins if you're thinking about drafting a quarterback with eighth pick.
Yeah, when
don't do it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's one or the other, man.
You're eighth the whole time, like, and you knew he would be available.
It ain't like you were surprised that Penix slid. You know what I mean? It wasn't like
let's get Cousins just in case we can't get Michael Penix at eight.
Yeah,
guys, let's just
yeah. It's just insanity. But anyway, Jared Verse, congratulations, buddy. We're proud of you.
40 what? First overall or first round pick for Florida State?
47th.
47th. Jared Verse, 19th overall to the Los Angeles Rams. I think their first round pick since they took Aaron Donald. Not that far back, but it's been a long time since they've had a first round pick because F them picks, which is why the Lakers are a dumpster fire. Thanks, LeBron.
I was way off. It's $22.4 million guaranteed
okay.
for Penix for the eighth pick.
All right. Well, yeah, it's a little bit more palatable, but still. Yeah. Apparently, according to Pete Thamel, I don't know what I was watching the ABC telecast because after one or two picks, I couldn't do Molly McGrath. Like, she's journalism with a capital J, but it's bolded and it's ultra capitalized.
Which one is she? Is she on ESPN or the NFL?
She was on ESPN. She's like the BC alumna, and she's great at her job, but she was just way too intense. Like, it felt like it was election night and the democracy was hanging in the balance. She's like, I spoke to Malik Nabers and he said he didn't sleep well. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I can't do this. So I flipped over to ABC and they had Saban on there. It was the game day crew. It was
right.
Reese, Herbie, Dez, and it was Saban.
I didn't watch that either. I stuck with NFL Network.
I put on NFL Network. I don't want Joel Klatt and Charles Davis, man. If I would have been Daniel Jeremiah and Rich Eisen, I would have rode all night with those guys. But I'm like,
if there was a podium with Lewis Riddick and Daniel Jeremiah, I'm set.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
Yeah.
Reese, I don't care who the third person is, as long as it's not Herb Street. I don't care. Like Reese Davis, who else? Trey Wingo? Is he guys
no,
out somewhere
man,
doing a draft?
Poor Wingo. I don't know. He's YouTubing it like us right now. poor fella. But yeah, so it was cool to see Saban on there. But yeah, Pete Thamel was saying on the ABC telecast that like representatives for Cousins were not happy. Like the Falcons called them while they were on the clock and about to put the pick in, and they were
not. They said, hey, you want us to get Rome Odunze to throw to or maybe a tackle? Nah, man, what about a backup, dog? What about a backup for 2 years? So we don't get any better at all in the first round. Does that sound good to you? But at the same time, who's playing a violin for Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
My man's getting $100 million over
the next
3 years.
Well, I think we're playing violins for Atlanta Falcons fans. Like, that's just
that's exactly right. And y'all better be playing a lot of them and play it loud because that is absurd. And we didn't do anything to deserve this.
Yeah. I don't know if they play the Rams. Hopefully Jared will take it easy on you guys. But 19th sounds about right. Maybe a little bit lower than he anticipated. But still, listen, from where he came from, again, and the ABC telecast was a little too much Disney World for me. It was interviewing grandma and mom and dad after every single pick if they were in the green room. But they did these little vignettes after everybody got picked to kind of like tell about their story and charitable deeds they did. And it laid out everything that we've already heard from Jared Verse. And it was in his own words, just about skinny, under-recruited kid coming out of high school, only one offer. You know, COVID comes around. His dad buys him a home gym. He talked about like all the meals he was eating. Just it's like five eggs, five pieces of bacon, pancakes, toast. Like, he had, like, four or five massive meals every single day, puts on that 30, 40 pounds, turns it on for Albany, then ends up going to Florida State, doing what he did here. And Saban was gushing about him. So was Herbie. So was Dez. Everybody. That's pretty much a universally lauded pick after a long, long wait for defenders to get off the board. I think 15th was the first defender to get off the board.
That's what I was going to say, is you said that he went a little lower than expected, and I don't disagree necessarily, but he was the fourth defensive player taken.
Yeah.
And he was the 19th over. I think there were only 9 defensive players taken in the whole first round, and he was the fourth. So, yeah, man, you know, you use that math. He was one of the 4 or 5 best defensive players in the country in 2023. And, yeah, the story, it's almost we take it – not take it for granted. We've just heard it so much that it doesn't really resonate with us and Florida State fans probably as much anymore. But it is cool when you take a step back or when you see national people – telling the story or hearing the story for the first time, because it is unlike any. I wrote it on Wednesday, heading into the draft. There's never been a draft story like this. There have been other guys, like Andre Wadsworth was a walk-on. Mm-hmm. But Andre Wadsworth didn't have to start his career at Albany. Like, he walked on at Florida State, but that was Florida State in 1993. Mm-hmm. Like, so you were playing with the big boys, and by 94, he had proven he was on scholarship and he was going to be a wrecking ball on the defensive line. But Jared Verse, he just the
late-blooming of it is incredible.
But also the self-belief.
Yeah.
And the belief of his dad. Like, you know, when you're 18, he's in love with football for a long time, and then you're 18 and you're not getting any offers and you're not big enough. You're told you're not big enough or strong enough to even play,
MAC football,
yeah. Like low-level Division I. You go to Albany, and even at Albany, you're like, all right, well, his first year was pretty good. Maybe it was the COVID year. One of them was screwy. But, yeah, man, and he was playing in the spring, right? Didn't they play in the spring?
Yeah, 2020.
Just look, man, like
he redshirted as a freshman, yeah, 19.
Redshirting at Albany, man. That's when you're sitting in your dorm room at night looking up at the ceiling, and just a normal person would be like, what am I doing here? Because Jared Verse is a bright kid. He's a smart kid. He could go be anything he wanted. And there's so many people, and, you know, I'm speaking kind of you know, personally thinking about my son, and if my son, and obviously my son is not going to be 6'5". I can't feed him enough pancakes, Aslan. There aren't enough out there to make him grow to be 6'5" and be an athlete like Jared Verse. But at some point, most all athletes, even high goal oriented athletes, at some point when they're smacked down enough, just give up on the dream and be like, okay, I guess I'm just not quite as good as I thought I was going to be. And what in the world made him keep getting up and attacking it when he's a redshirting defensive lineman at Albany? He can't get on the field at Albany. What makes him – where's the self-belief to keep busting his ass like that and working as hard as he did? Where does that come from? And it's not just pancakes, and it's not just lifting weights. There's more to it than that. And so to see that pay off, not just by – getting to Florida State and becoming what he became, an All-American, All-Conference player, but then a first-round pick, it's just a really neat story, man. It's something that I think, because he was so physically gifted and talented when we got here, we don't maybe appreciate the journey he had and how unimpressive he must have been as a 17-year-old to then turn himself into what he looks like now as a whatever he is, a 21, 22-year-old. That's just – it's a testament to him and the power of self-belief.
DNU, EDGU, Papuchis putting another one in the league, so that's obviously a really cool thing.
The 11th. I think it's the 11th defensive end drafted, first-round pick in Florida State history.
Let's go, man. I know that's Jamal Reynolds
be.
Is one, right?
Can't be. Jamal was one, yeah. There's a go-back to, obviously, Bowler.
Cam Wimberly.
Renard Wilson, Cam Wimberly, our man Jermaine, Alfonso Carriker from way back in the early 80s.
He was a first-round pick?
Yeah, yeah. Played with the Packers for a good while. He was the only player on that 83 defense that could play a lick. Well, I shouldn't say that. He was one of a few. Not a great defense that year. They won a lot of games. In fact, they did win one game. Like the East Carolina game was like 47-46.
Was that a Jack Stanton defense?
It was the year before Mickey.
Okay.
That Bobby had seen enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, so I don't know if you can claim defensive NU with 11 first-round picks. But that's a lot. There can't be many more schools that have had more than that. Especially 11 in the last 40 years. That's a big number.
Yeah. I just hope this also, again, just is another data point for these kids, either in the portal or high school, that are looking at this program now, where it's like, all right, you're getting developed. I mean, coming out of the Albany, going into the portal, everybody wanted him. Texas wanted him, LSU, Florida. I mean, everybody was after him. Florida State was able to land him, so... but you still get credit for developing him. I don't care what anybody
says. I know he played well against LSU in his first game, but I really do think, and I'm talking about his in the Superdome, but I do think he was, by the end of his career, he was, I think, significantly better than he was at the beginning of his career. At Florida State, I'm talking about. Like, he was really tough to deal with, not just the pass rush. I mean, he obviously we remember him throwing tackles into quarterbacks, but just the way he was against the run. He's a really good player, man. He just got better and better. So that is a feather in the cap. That's a notch on the belt for development.
surprised that he was the only Florida State player to go first round today, Corey? Or last night, rather?
No. Were you?
No. No. The Keon stuff sounded kind of encouraging, but it felt so 11th hour that I don't know if that was like a favor somebody did to try to call him the Tom Pelissero to try to create some kind of buzz for him, but I didn't see that working on it. And then Fisk, too. I love what Braden's going to be. I think he's going to have a long, fruitful career, but I just don't think he was dynamic enough. Oh, that's such a generic sort of term, but just like, listen, again, how many defensive players went? How long did it take for a defensive player to go off the board? Especially at that point, the writing was kind of on the wall that, you know, he's going to probably have to wait till Friday, but shouldn't have to be that long on Friday. So as we look ahead to later today, do you still think Fisk goes ahead? Do you think Fisk goes ahead of Coleman? Do you think Coleman goes ahead of Fisk?
Oh, I don't know, man. It's a good question. I think they're close to each other. I really don't have an opinion on that. It's all going to come down to need, but I do think that Friday night will be more fun, I think, for Florida State fans because I would assume – I'm guessing four go tonight. Okay. I think Braden – I think Fisk, Keon, and Trey Benson are automatics.
Mm.
And then I think somebody else, at least one other one.
Yeah.
Whether it's Renardo, Jarian, Johnny, Jaheim, one of those guys I think will be. And I assume the Falcons will draft Jordan Travis at some point after they draft Spencer Rattler. Let's just have a free-for-all. Just make them all quarterbacks. Really piss off Kirk Cousins as much as possible because he plays better when he's mad.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they're thinking. I don't know, man. I don't know. I still can't get over it. Congratulations, Jared Verse. I still can't get over what the Falcons did.
Yeah. I would be surprised if Johnny goes later today, just because like now I don't think he's
worthy.
I would
too, and I think seven I'm right on him.
Seven receivers went on Thursday night, right? Like,
right.
That's crazy. They think there's seven better receivers than Keon Coleman. So, like, I wonder where Johnny falls in that sort of matrix.
And there's A.D. Mitchell that's still out there. There's like two or three other ones that people have ranked right ahead.
Vlad McConkey's out there still.
That's right. But I think I'm right on Johnny, and I don't understand. I saw one mock draft I was looking. He was like a sixth-round pick. Another one I looked at a month ago. Now, granted, guys, these are seven-round mock drafts in March by somebody I do not know. It might be a kid in high school. But Johnny wasn't even mentioned. And it's like, man, unless there's some stuff that we don't know about him, that thing plays. The way he – in the NFL – that plays. And if you're worried about, I don't know, that he's not fast enough, his top-end speed, though he ran a 4.51.
Yeah, man.
But if you're worried that he's not quite fast enough or twitchy enough, well, make him a flex tight end or something, man, because he likes to block. Tell him to put on 20 pounds. You're telling me that there's so many good – that guy's not going to be – I just think if he goes in the fifth or sixth round, I think people – there are going to be a lot of teams that had a chance to draft him that didn't. That will end up giving up first downs to him.
Yeah,
I just think he's gonna be a nice NFL player. I'll die on that hill. And I think it's weird that he's not really thought of as all as like an auto third round pick or a second round pick. I get there are some concerns, but golly, 6'7" is 6'7", and I've seen the film. I watched all those games. Those are a lot of tough contested catches that he made.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing could be they're just worried about him getting off the line. Like, he's got top-end speed, like, probably 0 to 20, you know.
But it's hard to jam a 6'7", kid. He'll just throw you to the side.
Well, I mean, I think there's grown men, though, in this level.
Yeah,
I think.
That's true. Yeah, he's a little stronger.
Happen as frequently. But, yeah, I'm trying to think. I was looking at the guy from the Eagles, Jordan Mailata, that, you know, did the pick for them from his native Australia or whatever, because I know he played rugby, and I'm like, they did draft him, but they drafted him seventh round, so
right.
Maybe and that's obviously a much bigger conversion going from rugby to American football, but I just wonder if a lot of these teams do think that they want to hedge Johnny as like, all right, if it doesn't work, well, then we can transition to tight end, like maybe third round is still too rich for
maybe.
Not knowing for sure, but again, like, I hope it works. I'll be surprised if he gets drafted today, but I will be even more surprised if he doesn't hang on for a few years in the NFL just because, yeah, like he's 6'7" and can run a 4.5. Like you're talking about size and speed, check and check.
Yeah.
We
watched him. It's not like it's just a guy that's tall that clocked well. I mean, he made a lot of huge catches. Yeah. I know the drops, everyone. I get it. I also know that what he did against Oklahoma, what he did. I mean, every game he made that huge catch against Florida. He had two huge catches against Florida in his career in back-to-back seasons. They kind of won them. They helped win them the games. What he did against Clemson in the final drive that almost led to a field goal. The guys stepped up and made big time plays for a big time program. I'm not expecting to hear his name called. I just think these teams, if you're drafting a wide receiver in the fourth round and it's not Johnny Wilson, I mean, what are you doing? Take a shot on that. That kid's worth taking a shot on. I certainly feel that way.
I like how you brought up Trey because you quickly forgotten because of obviously the position that he plays, but I wonder if he'll be the first running back off the board. I listened to the Russillo podcast with Daniel Jeremiah and Todd McShane. I think one of them had Marshawn Lloyd as their top back. The other one had the kid from Texas. So maybe Jerry Jones will be intoxicated by that size speed combo that Trey has because he's a guy that still wants to pay running back. But yeah,
and he also
Trey's
the cool
definitely
about,
going today though. At least
I would think so. That's again, Kiper has him as his number two running back. I know a running back hasn't been taken yet, but I would feel like there's, what are there, 64 picks tonight? I would assume at least a handful of those will be running backs, and Trey Benson's one of the two or three best available out there, so you would think he'd go. And I think one of the appealing things about Trey is there's not a lot of tread, or there's a lot of tread still left on the tires.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't get used a ton.
Nope.
He's not an Alabama running back from 5-10 years ago where they were just done by the time they got to the league. I don't know what he's – I would guess he averaged 12 carries a game while he was at Florida State, 14 at most. Like, he's got a lot. He should still have a lot of miles left. So that should be appealing to these NFL teams. And he didn't get any miles in the Orange Bowl either. So he saved his legs for that.
Yeah, man, he had his most carries of the season in the Florida and Louisville games. Before that, the most he had was 16 against Miami, and then he had 19 against the Gators, 18 against Louisville.
Okay.
So, yeah, they preserved him well. And that is the one position, too, that they probably can look back on what Mike Norvell has done, right? Because, you know, Daryl Henderson with the Rams, Kenneth Gainwell, Tony Pollard. So, you know, obviously Trey's a different kind of back than those guys, but that's like the one position that Mike Norvell has produced that probably will help him out, we would think, later today when the draft gets started back up.
Yeah, and he had 310 carries in his career. Or 316, he had six at Oregon, but 310 at Florida State the last 2 years, which is right at an average of 155, which for 13 games is what? Is that 12 a game? Right? That's like right at 12. I almost nailed that, just not even knowing it. It's right at 12 carries a game he averaged in college. I would assume that, along with the ability, the film, and the miles per hour he hits and what he ran in the 40 would make him a very appealing prospect.
The wide receivers all going ahead of Keon. Like, I'm not going to get indignant over it. The only one that I am indignant over is Brian Thomas Jr. And I know he had a really good year, and he's improved year over year at LSU. But that's the one. And I know he went higher than pretty much everybody else. I mean, then Worthy went after him, and then Pearsall and Leggett to end things off. But that's the only receiver that went ahead of Keon that I was like, really? That's the one that we'll see. Circle that one, everybody. We'll see how hot or cold of a take that is in two or three years when these guys start getting their legs under him. But again, like, I didn't think Keon was necessarily a first-round pick, but I guess Brian Thomas had been bandied about for the last week and a half, 2 weeks of being a first-round pick, so I shouldn't have been surprised. But I wonder what we're looking at here because, I mean, like, a lot of the routes they were showing that Brian Thomas was running, like, it wasn't anything pretty. It was against Arkansas and Vandy, against guys tripping over themselves, and it wasn't, like, because he was running these really crisp routes. But I guess his body type's a little bit more appealing than Keon's, but that's the only one that struck me as being, I don't want to call it a reach, but I just think all the other receivers I could understand, but the Brian Thomas, I could not. How long do you think Keon waits today? I guess with the biggest surprise for you would be if he has to go into round three, like at that point,
surprised. I think that would be a stunner. I think Keon's an exceptional athlete. That is just a supremely talented dude. I don't care that he ran a 4.6. I saw the catch against Syracuse. I saw him leap over a DB. I saw him return punts, big punt returns, one against Miami, and then scored essentially what ended up being the game-winning touchdown against Miami with a not a great lower half, let's say. He had a lower extremity injury, and he was still doing those things, man. I just think he's a freak of an athlete at that size. And I'd be stunned if he lasted more than the middle of the second round.
Well, dude, look at it. I mean, so today it starts back up. You got Bills, Patriots, Cardinals, Commanders, Chargers. Like, the Cardinals already took Marvin Harrison Jr., but the Patriots still need someone for Drake May to throw the ball to. You know, Bills obviously lost Stephon Diggs. Commanders probably need somebody for Jaden Daniels to catch the ball. And then obviously the Chargers lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, and Herbert needs somebody to throw the ball to. So he could be off as quickly as 33, 34, 36, or 37. So, the Panthers are drafting 39th, 7th today. So they need all the weapons to help out.
Well, they just got –
they'll
get,
though.
One.
Yeah, they took a get.
By the way, how does the commissioner look at that last name and look like he has no – he didn't have any idea how to pronounce it, and he said Legit.
I think he was taking some nips backstage.
Must have. Smiley, yeah.
Yeah, he was like fumbling over words.
Yeah, he dropped it one time when he was walking out too.
Yeah. So.
And then he always does the point to the somebody in the crowd and laughs and smiles. There's nobody he's really pointing to, right?
Yeah they're just booing him. He's just trying to cover up so he doesn't cry or whatever. All right, I think we knocked it out with everybody in the draft.
Did you see, by the way, because you talked about Brian Thomas, I hope the people see the viral clip of his family because it's awesome. Brian Thomas was the receiver, not Malik Nabers, but the other one from LSU. And remember the COVID year when every single time a kid was drafted, they talked about how his best friend in elementary school had been stabbed right in front of him? Or his grandmom had died when he was scoring the game-winning touchdown in the state championship
game. We needed something to uplift our spirits then, Corey. You know,
well, that didn't do it, because all you did was like, oh, God, it's all horrible. These are supposed to be great times, and you keep reminding them of...
If the virus doesn't kill us, we're going to have a straight bullet's going to get us.
Or we're just going to remember all the other sad things that happened to you on this great night for you. But they asked... I don't know who it was. I guess it was the ABC, because I didn't watch any of the ABC feeds. So that's what you said. They talked to parents and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So it must have been the ABC feed. So she asked. She was trying. It felt to me like she was trying to pull the heartstrings. Mm. It was one of those questions where you're trying to pull the heartstrings. Hey, your son just became a millionaire. He completely changed the economic future of this family forever for the better. So the dad is like, you know, beside himself, said, I'm just so overjoyed or whatever. And then she goes and she brings in the mom and she goes, and it's not a really worded question, a great worded question, but she goes, can you just talk about how far this family has come? Yeah. And the mom says, well, we came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, because they're in Detroit. And it's like, that's just the perfect, it was just such a perfect answer. Yeah. It just was a perfect answer. I loved it. I loved everything about it. I loved the fact that she was trying to pull on the heartstrings about whatever horrible stuff had happened to that family 10 years ago and how they have risen above it, and they're all upset now, which is awesome. But she just gave the straightforward, well, we came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That's how far we came.
I did see that live. I didn't realize it went viral, but like it was, like you said, it was definitely I thought there was something going on in that family I wasn't aware of.
Well, I think that's what she was trying to get to.
Yeah.
And the mom wasn't playing it. She's like, yeah, we came from Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge. There was somebody, poor Laura Rutledge, she called one of the mothers like the wrong name.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, I started cringing there for a little bit. It was funny, though. The one, I think the kid from Missouri that got drafted, he was actually born and raised like south of Detroit. So the family was there in the green room and he got drafted. And the grandma was such a sweet lady, and like Laura Rutledge was holding her hand, and the grandma's like, I'm so excited that we're going to go somewhere warm. She's like, I love Detroit, but I hate the cold.
Okay, nice. Yeah, that's fun.
It was really sweet. So,
You good when they show – I love the fam cam. The fam cams are the best thing they've added to the draft ever. I don't think any of them should actually go to Detroit or wherever the draft is. All these players should be on their couch.
Oh, I love them. Yeah, I love
it. It's great because
all the Polynesian guys got me, man. They're all like tearing up around. Like,
oh, yeah, it's great. Those big, huge dudes that are crying. But I also love the game of, is that his sister or his girlfriend? Because it's hard to tell, my man. And Brock Bowers, I don't know if you remember his couch scene, and I know I'm a Georgia grad.
I didn't see Brock Bowers. I'll pull it up, though. Go ahead.
So if you get the Brock Bowers fam cam, there's two possibilities of sister, girlfriend, whichever one it is. Mm-hmm. But if you see the picture, there's such completely different vibes that I'm genuinely curious. One is I'm not trying to stereotype people, so please forgive me, like a sorority-type blonde. Right. Very attractive, whatever, but sitting next to her. The other one is also, somebody that could be his girlfriend, brunette with a full leg tattoo.
Mm.
And I'm like, all right, Brock, what's going on? And the mom's in the middle. So you had no idea which one, was which. And I'd love for you, or you guys listening at home, go find the footage of Brock Bowers being drafted in Detroit. It was a funny scene.
I'm watching it here. Now that's the girlfriend. Yeah, that's his girlfriend for sure. I can't
Which
see the
one?
Leg tattoos. The one that he's hugging right after he's
Oh,
drafted.
I didn't see the hug. The brunette?
No, the blonde. The blonde for sure.
So
the brunette,
then who
he doesn't
is
even
the
hug
brunette
her.
With
his
the full
sister,
leg tattoo?
His sister, probably, I'm thinking.
Man, the Bowerses grew up in Napa.
Well,
like
you
they,
know.
The little sister gets has a full leg tattoo?
I mean,
it just seems a little hardcore for Napa Valley, I guess. And that's where, if you guys didn't know, which is crazy, that's where Brock Bowers played high school football, was in Napa. So you can imagine what he did to those poor kids.
Low key, I love that look on women.
Okay, let's call. I was already a little over my skis, talking about.
I'm not objectifying.
She could
cure cancer, probably, for all I know.
Yes,
man. I'm not reducing her to anything.
I just feel creepy because of my age talking about 22-year-olds' girlfriends. But I do think that's a real game that people. Oh, you shouldn't. Yeah. And that's a real game that I'm also married. So
you
I
are. That's
probably
right.
Shut up.
Sorry.
It's a real game that I think people could play. Is like which one's which.
No, there's literally, I think, an Instagram account that's. It's literally the whole thing. It's nothing but pictures of a man and a woman, and it's guess if they're boyfriend, girlfriend, or brother, sister.
Okay, right.
And it's crazy.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like oh no way, that's definitely brother and sister. It's like no, they're boyfriend, girlfriend. It's like oh, they're definitely boyfriend, girlfriend. It's like nope, that's a sister. It's like what?
Yeah,
it's PG. It's PG, but it's hilarious. It's out there.
And I will say this about the draft coverage. I'm not going to go in on the people that go to it, which apparently was over 100,000. It was like I don't even know what people are doing. There's literally over 100,000 they thought were in Detroit for the draft, which is just.
I still thought there looked like there was more people in Nashville. I'll always remember that shot they did of Broad Street, like on the
crazy.
There was a drone shot that it just went like 20 blocks of just mass humanity.
But so I'm not going to make fun of the people that go to the draft. But I always have another little thing that I pick up from the draft coverage each year. This year is – so I don't like to get on Twitter much because people will ruin the pick for you.
Yes,
I don't know who that is, but apparently he knows someone. I don't know how – he must be Goodell's – he must be in the room with Goodell when they hand him the envelope. Or he types out the envelope and hands them to somebody because I don't know how he would know for every single team who they're going to draft. And he always does it. It's not like he's breaking news because he's doing it 90 seconds before we all find out.
Yeah.
He's just ruining the drama for people. And then people retweet it because they're jerks.
Yeah.
So I stay off Twitter. But you also notice while you're watching the draft, pay attention to this next first round. They don't want to be wrong. They want to look smart. So it wasn't just Ian Rapoport coming up and saying, hey, guys, don't be surprised if the Falcons take Michael Penix with this pick. And Brady's like, what did he say? And I'm like, he's like, they wouldn't do that. I'm like, well, they obviously are because he wouldn't have come up here and said that for no reason. Yeah. They did it. Lewis Riddick started talking about Jared Verse before Verse was drafted. So he got somebody tipped him off. And Jeremiah with the Chargers was the one I remember specifically with Harbaugh. He's like, you know, I don't know what they're going to do here, but my gut tells me there's been quarterbacks off the board. Jim Harbaugh needs somebody. He likes the big uglies. He likes those big dudes.
Yeah.
He wants to go get himself somebody to block for his quarterback, who I'm blanking on his name.
Justin Herbert.
Yeah. So don't be surprised if he gets an offensive lineman. And there you go. Of course they draft. So they did it for almost every pick, where they're kind of tipping their hand because they want to look like they're making a educated guess when in reality they already know what's happening. Much like McElroy and Herb Street did on the selection show. They knew what was coming. So I just see that's a game that these networks play. They tell the talent who's going to be drafted and they get 30 seconds to like say, you know, I think Roma Dunze is a good fit right here. I think that's who they want right here. It's like, yeah, you do, because you just saw on your phone that that's who they're taking.
No.
So that's something to watch. So they ruin – my point is
they ruined
the drama too. Yeah.
I mean, I watched ABC, and I liked it. I'll be honest. I liked it. The poor Laura Rutledge having to interview everyone's mom and dad and grandma was a little bit much after, like, pick 19. But
right. After Jared Verse. Did she interview – so she only interviews the people that are there.
Right, yeah. But, dude, Saban was awesome. I really like Saban.
I think he could be great at that. I really do think – I didn't watch any of it. But I'm not surprised that he was really good.
It was cool. And like every 15, 20 minutes, it was just him low key throwing a barb at like the current state of college football.
Sure.
Just like, He's like, you guys talk about Jared Verse. He's like, that's a crazy story, right? He's like, he didn't start growing until what did we just say? Like he was 20 years old and his red shirt sophomore year. You know, when you were a player, Dez, I would have offered you when you were a high school junior or senior. It's like now we're having to offer kids when they're eighth graders. And I'm like, keep going, Nick.
Yeah,
keep going. Like every 15 minutes was something like the portal guys quitting. He was talking up Tarion Arnold, which some of the cool stuff they did.
Shout out Tallahassee, by the way.
Yeah, man, it was cool because they show like Tarion Arnold. He came back to Tallahassee because he promised the school janitor that, like, you know, he was going to give him his Alabama jersey whenever, like, he came back from Alabama. So, like, they showed him meeting up with the janitor and, like, signing an autograph. And, like, the janitor was like, yeah, man, like, you're way too good for, like, I don't deserve how nice you are to me. And then Tarion, like, narrates over it. He's like, nah, he's like, I don't deserve to have somebody as nice as you. He's like, all the lessons you taught me, like, in seventh grade or seventh period gym classic, I'll never forget that stuff. And he's like, whenever I get drafted in the NFL, he's like, I'm going to come back and give you that team's jersey too. And it was like a cool thing to see.
Oh, that's nice.
So
he seems like a really good kid. He's the one that also, I think, admitted that if Florida State had been this,
when he was
in Tallahassee, he'd have gone to Florida State because he's still a Florida State fan.
Yeah,
he's an easy kid to root for.
Yeah. And it was weird too, in the pregame, like the hour before the draft, they kept asking Saban about all of his players. I'm like, what's the difference between McKinstry and, Tarion Arnold? And he pretty much said that McKinstry was better. It's just like he's played more football. He's more mature, but I think he doesn't have maybe a totally clean physical right now. But it was interesting to see that Arnold actually went ahead of him. They showed Saban, like you could, they showed him like he fist pumped. Like he was really excited. It was just kind of cool to see that. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
I think they should bring Jimbo back. Do like something on the SEC Network and just have him ramble for. We need to get Jimbo on our show. I think if you, me, and Jimbo did a NFL draft watch along, it'd be killer. It'd be killer.
Sure, man. Yeah. What's he doing?
But
he's
counting his money and just swimming in cash, piles of it.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
On the way out, Florida State's got a huge series in baseball starting this weekend, starting tonight against Duke. I'll go listen to the interview with Coach Link Jarrett, which is really cool. Apparently, the first game against Wake Forest on Saturday, the first game of the doubleheader when things started getting a little bit tight, he made an in-game bet with the team. They're like, hey, guys, if we win this, McFlurry's on me, everybody. Mm. And then Jaime Ferrer hits a two-run home run to seal it, and didn't just hit the go-ahead RBI. So apparently when they got on the bus ride to the airport, he's like, we're going to stop at McDonald's. I'm going to get the guys McFlurries. Like, it's just something I've done in my career where if I notice the guys are playing too tight or something, he's like, I just want to kind of loosen people up. No word whether or not they actually were able to find a McDonald's with a working McFlurry machine, though.
I was going to say, I didn't even know they worked. I didn't know that McDonald's had ice cream machines anymore.
Yeah.
Who even tries to go
and
there?
Like, good luck getting 40 of those things.
You want to hear discipline, by the way. I went to an establishment that sells chicken. It's famous for it, actually.
Okay.
Not Zaxby's, but went to an establishment famous for chicken. While I'm waiting for my food to be handed to me, they asked me if I want a free bowl of ice cream. Like, they had made it accidentally, or the people drove off without it, and it's like, it's free. It's just an ice cream cup, and I'm like, nope. If I take it, then I'll eat it.
Look at you.
I took it. Yeah. So I said, get that away from me, kid. Get that away from me. So yeah, I wanted to pat myself on the back for that. I did come home and eat some Cheez-Its though, so that didn't. I ate some stuff there, so I wasn't eating that healthy. I was gonna say so no Cam Leiter again,
right?
No Connor Whitaker again, but again, Link Jarrett acts as if he likes what he's hearing that they're on their way back. He might do this all the way to Omaha. He might say, after the Super Regional win, he might go, look, and we're hearing good stuff about Cam Leiter.
He learned from Norvell. He's like, Jordan Trapps is all right. It's all right. It wasn't a break. It was a sprain. It was an optical illusion.
Day to day. So we'll see. You know, Duke's really good, y'all. They're number six in the country for a reason. They've hit the most home runs in the conference. They lead the conference in fielding percentage and ERA. They got really good bullpen arms. It's going to be a challenge. It's honestly a bigger challenge than Wake was, and Wake was obviously a very big challenge because you lost two out of three, and it's a bummer. And Link said it. He's like, look, we're going to lock horns. Whatever he said. He's like,
He's like, I wish we were healthier, but it is what it is.
We're going to lock horns. Yeah, like, yeah, which is great. It's a good quote, but it's like, man, I would like to see this thing at full capacity. Yeah. With Arnold Leiter and Whitaker, or Arnold Leiter Dorsey, and then Whitaker coming in a jam as a reliable bullpen arm. Whatever you want to do with your starting staff, you got options. And Ben Barrett is coming back.
He should be back a little bit, so that almost sounds like he's available, yeah.
Yeah, so it did sound like it. So I think Ben Barrett is available this weekend, which is a pick-me-up. But he's not, obviously, Cam Leiter. He's not a starter. He's not a guy that can get you 15 or 18 outs necessarily. So you just hope they're ready to go here in a couple of weeks, because if it's all the way until ACC tournament time, the end of May, then what are the odds that they're going to be good enough after missing 2.5 months or healthy enough to get you 18 outs in a game? Mm-hmm. What are you really getting from guys that have missed that much time? So hopefully they do get back here soon. Or I fear that this could be a season of like what could have been, because those are two very important arms that they really desperately need, because they're good at everything else.
I felt a little bit of a downer there, Corey. I was feeling really optimistic and upbeat about everything.
I mean, it's hard to beat good teams when you're down two starting pitchers. Like, if Duke was down its top two pitchers or two of its top three, I'd be like, I like the Noles' chances in this one. But they're not.
Well, apparently, Link was saying that whoever they're throwing on Saturday is also a first-round pick, and their Friday night guy is a first-round pick. So
Friday night guy. So I didn't see the Saturday guy listed in the Jonathan Mayo. MLB works for MLB.com, came out with on Thursday the updated top 150 draft prospects. Cam Smith is 21. James Tibbs is 22.
Nice.
So that's really good news. So right now, at least by MLB.com standards, they're projected to be first-round picks. And the kid that's pitching tonight for Duke is 29th. So he is projected to be a first-round pick, at least theoretically, by this. The other kid that he mentioned from Duke wasn't in the top 150.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean Link's wrong.
Yeah.
It just means maybe it hasn't gotten back to Jonathan Mayo that he's really good. But, yeah, and they got dudes that hit bombs, and they got a lot of good arms in the pen. It's going to be tough. But hey, go win the series. Just go win the series.
It's time, man. Like, listen, I'm all in on Link, and I'm really excited about what this team can be this year. But you got to win one of these series, and you got some time.
You don't have to. You'd be nice if you did, though, to get it, be in that top eight national seed.
Yeah, yeah.
You
need
to win this series. Yeah,
which you don't need to be a top eight seed to, you know, make it to Omaha, but just, you know, when you're trying to talk about baseball in the here and now, like in April, it's like, you know, that's one of these got to have it series, but, you know, I'm still going to be here even if they get swept, but they're not going to get swept. That's not how they roll. Thoughts on So I did ask him
about to wrap it up, and I just kept going. I apologize.
No, it's fine. Did ask him about spring game, which I never really thought about, like having a home baseball series the same weekend as a spring football game, because like he's been around here, this, you know, as a player and as a coach, you know, as an assistant or whatever, and they did it all the time. And it's something that I didn't think about. The ACC obviously has a much different geographic footprint now than it did in 1996. So he talked about the challenges, about like the wants of him. Like he wants to do it. It'd be incredible. It'd be awesome. I'd love to do it, he said. But like he wants to start every season playing four straight home series. So that's like, all right, there you go. That's you need to have that. And then he's like, we want to figure out a way to be able to play Miami and Pitt and Wake and Notre Dame and not have to, in Boston College, and not have to live on a plane and out of a suitcase for like, you know, 2 weeks at a time. So there's so many moving targets just for them. And then he's got to then coordinate it with football, obviously, to make sure it falls on the same date. So I was always a really easy thing. Like, let's just get these guys in the same room and figure it out. But there's a lot more moving parts than maybe you all acknowledge it, but I did not acknowledge it. So, but hopefully at some point it will be a thing again. Spring football.
Yeah, I don't think it's that many moving parts. I get what he's saying, but it's not an impossibility.
If there's a will, there is a way on this.
Exactly right. And there's not proven to be much will at all in the last 20 years. Yeah.
So, hey, it's like almost 1 o'clock in the morning as we're talking about this. So the portal's been really quiet. Florida State has not.
Too quiet almost.
Yeah. Their players have not jumped out scholarship wise. There was some rumblings there about Cam Riley, who was an Auburn linebacker that went to NC State. In the portal cycle in December, January, like a 6'5" linebacker. Our guy, Matt Lasser, reached out to him and says he's not heard from FSU, Cam Riley. But again, I don't think that's necessarily a huge add or loss. Interesting thing, though, Pete Nakos reported on Friday, Corey, that Florida State reached out to a defensive end, Jaden Wayne from Miami. I didn't realize that Florida State was on the market for an edge guy, but he went to IMG and has been at Miami for last year was his first season down there. Not a lot of 135 snaps last season in 7 games, it looks like. Graded out at 60, according to PFF. So 6'6", 245, though.
All right.
For whatever that's worth. Maybe they feel like if they get an edge and that puts Tomey in the interior, and that's an add right there. So
I think Tomey's probably interior anyway, is the impression I get.
Yeah.
Honestly, just from watching what I watch in the spring, I think that's their plan with him anyway. I think it might just be somebody to battle Byron Turner for the fourth spot. Right. I mean, I'm not saying they're going after this kid, but I'm saying if they got a defensive end, I think that's what they're trying to do.
But the next time we hang out and talk, there's got to be, I don't want to say mass exodus, but man, like if I give you the number like 2.5, you would hammer the over, right, of scholarship players that announce they're leaving? Or are you not as bullish as
I definitely would. Okay. I mean, golly, what do they got? They got 5 days left, right? Yeah, I would think by the time we're talking and for Monday's show that it will be over 2.5 for sure.
Just wonder what are we all waiting for here, everybody?
Maybe they waited for they didn't want to spoil Jared Versus Day.
I guess. All right. Well, I hear the inside the NBA music playing. Let me see what's going on in that game.
They didn't win, Aslan. They didn't come back. No, they're down. Hey, well, you know, you can't come back 3-0 until you get down 3-0. You know what I mean? You can pull it together. Obviously,
they're up 20 points in game 2, man. Well, unbelievable. I don't want to talk about it anymore. All right.
I mean, it's fine. Nobody feels – I tell you who doesn't feel bad for anyone. Nobody feels
Atlanta
bad
Hawks
for Lakers
fans.
Oh, just Lakers fans. You got to cheer for Kobe and Shaq and LeBron. I know, you know, he won the title with nobody could be in the building with him, but still, he won a title there. Yeah. The Hawks have not.
I got to watch Magic, too. Like, I was old enough
and they're losing to the
Magic.
Nuggets. You know what I mean?
They're
like,
so good, man.
I
Jokic
like watching
is
them.
So
they're fun.
Good.
They're fun to watch.
They are.
That guy is just an incredible basketball player. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, and Jamal Murray just seems to make
he's good
really
too.
Timely shots. Good job, John Calipari. Like, every day there's somebody doing something awesome in the playoffs, like Tyrese Maxey, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Leonard Hamilton went to more Sweet 16s than you in the last 6 years. Suck it, buddy.
Hey, what can you do? What can you do?
Come on, Ham. 4 more years.
Yep.
4 more years.
Yep.
We're keeping an eye on that, too, basketball-wise as well. But everything you need to know about Florida State sports, always residing over at warchant.com, the ultimate symbol of sports. Or subscribe, everybody. It's only $1 for a month. Maybe even $1 for 2 months if you try that promo code FSU1. Matt Lasser's got you covered on the portal tier, but I know you care about it. And we'll do video updates if we need to. And maybe we'll do some sort of video wrap-up. Maybe not Corey and I or somebody on the War Chant team after this great draft haul that they'll have after the end of today. So let's have a great Friday out there, everybody. And let's make sure we're subscribed to the podcast and listen to us on Monday. He's Corey Maslon. Thanks for listening to Wake Up War Chant, presented by the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.